Doug Phillips is on the phone line right now. He is the assistant city editor at the Florida Sun Sentinel. This is the newspaper for which what happened at Parkland would be local news. Doug, thanks for joining us on WGN in Chicago. How are you today?
Good afternoon. Yes, it is local news, local tragic news for us.
By the way, just my observation or my colleagues about the ease with which you can purchase guns down in Florida. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Oh, sure. You were mentioning the gun shows, and that's not an exaggeration. Gun shows every weekend. You can the billboards up and down the highway talk about gun show this weekend, gun show next weekend. And one of the things that's interesting about these gun shows is they don't have the strict licensing and strict requirements that it has when you go into a gun store. So as easy as it is to go into a retail outlet and buy a gun, it's even easier to do it at these gun shows.
Doug, my understanding is, though, that this young man purchased the gun legally. Is that how you all are reporting it there?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And there's no reason to believe that he didn't. The attorney that represents him said that he legally acquired that gun. He was over the age of 18. And you go into the retailer, you give them all the information you have, and probably in less than an hour, you're walking out with the weapon. In this case, has been described as an AR-15-like weapon. The Associated Press has reported that it was exactly what's called a Smith & Wesson M&P-15, which basically is Smith & Wesson's version of the AR-15.
Again, Doug Phillips is on the line, the assistant city editor at the Florida Sun Sentinel. I understand that you are doing the interviews for the newspaper. All of your reporters are obviously locked in on this local story. So we've kind of asked you to be the conduit for what all you all are hearing. Are your reporters talking or finding out much information about his mental health and who knew what when about his background?
Yeah, we're digging down into what is known, and at this point, it's not a great deal that's known. However, in when you put the puzzle pieces together about this young man, number one, he was basically adopted at birth, but his father died when he was four, and his adoptive mother died back in the fall, around November or so, and he was living with friends at the time. And he was described by people who knew him as just being a little off. And some of them were not surprised when something like this happened. But were there enough red flags where he could actually have been detained or something? That is what the big question is right now.
My guess is not. I don't know a state in the union that has gone to that point where we will physically detain you because we worry that someday you'll get a gun and shoot up a school. I mean, sure, some people are so aberrant that they're detained against their will, but that's very much the exception. And I can't imagine Florida's anywhere near something like that.
No, probably not. During a briefing a little earlier today, the sheriff of Broward County, Scott Israel, did sort of make an impassioned plea for some sort of enhanced ability for law enforcement to, even though one has a legally acquired weapon, as in this case, that if law enforcement was notified that somebody was acting kind of strange, maybe not over the legal line, that they would at least be able to do something about it. Where now they're sort of constrained by statute on what you can do, depending upon the severity of somebody's emotional state.
Well, what's the political appetite in Florida for having more restrictive gun laws?
Look, right now in the legislature, there's proposals going around that if you have a concealed weapon permit, should you be able to carry that in a church with a school? I mean, this is legislation that's been poking around before yesterday.
Going in the opposite direction, in other words.
There doesn't seem to be an appetite for it. Whether this will spark it, we've been down this road not only here but in this country before. Children, babies were killed in Connecticut how many years ago? 5 years ago or so. And what's been done? Nothing.
You had a crazy shooting at a nightclub in Florida too, and so I guess it's not something that we haven't visited before. But I've been wondering if there might not be some sort of critical mass. At some point the country will tip. You're not hearing back from, say, commenters online at the Florida Sun Sentinel, hey, this has gotta change or not.
It goes both ways. Certainly there are those who believe that the gun laws are nowhere near as strong as they should be. And the other side of that comment is, hey, this was a person who clearly had mental problems, had nothing to do with what he was carrying. I guess the question, the bottom line of the question is, should he have been able to carry that in the first place? Well, what do you do with an AR-15, essentially?
Can you tell me a little bit about, so he buys the gun legally. Do we know where and how long he had it? And did the family he was staying with know that he had the gun? Can you talk about that?
Apparently it was bought locally here in the county of Broward County, not really far from where this all happened. And from what we have been able to piece together, family members knew that he had it, but believed that it was, more or less locked up and secured and not used regularly. Some of this is anecdotal and some of this is, what is floating out there. But the fact that he had it in the first place, I think, is what people are worried about.
Were most of the victims freshmen?
Unsure. We know there were 17. We know there were at least one football coach among them.
Yeah.
I've seen various levels of school. I have not seen that they were all freshmen at all. And we, as an aside, we were expecting this afternoon to get confirmation on the identification of all 17.
Yeah, I only ask that because it's interesting. When the story was happening, we were listening to it live on the radio here in Chicago. We were tapping into Florida radio, and we were hearing reports from parents and students who were talking to their kids inside, and they were saying, well, they thought it was confined to the building or the area on campus where the freshmen tended to be. That's the only reason I asked that. Do you know how he was able to gain access to the school? The doors are locked during the day.
Well, what the current theory is that he was on campus and took an Uber to campus, and between that time and the time the fire alarm was pulled, I think we're supposed to learn this afternoon, according to the sheriff, a timeline. So presumably that would have, if he arrived on campus, was he the one that pulled the fire alarm in order to get everybody out of the classrooms?
Right, but he would have had to got in there. I thought heard that maybe he actually shot his way in, maybe fired at the door or something like that.
Well, the campus itself, you can walk onto the campus. From there, some visitors are supposed to go into the administration's office. So we're not exactly sure what might have happened from there.
How he got in.
We do know he tried to blend with students on the way out, and that's when he was spotted.
What can you tell me about the officer? We heard a soundbite here on WGN Radio from the officer who apprehended him. Can you tell us much about the apprehension?
Well, what he said was that as the students were being evacuated, he noticed somebody who completely fit the description of the person they were looking for, and that he was able to, in his words, sort of detain him without incident.
That's amazing to me. You would think that that kid would go down firing. None of this makes sense, but it seems like that's how those things end, and that the officers would have sufficient restraint not to beat the living crap out of that kid or shoot him dead because of what he's done. It's remarkable to me that they were able to come up to him and say, hey, you, stop, and they were able to arrest him.
And there was no back-and-forth shooting. Yeah, the officer, in fact, he said he looked like a typical high school student. So unsure, again, how he got onto the campus, but if he looked like a typical high school student, he could have been just taken for somebody that was, he's on campus.
I guess that's why all the kids were told to raise their hands as they were leaving the campus. We don't know who the shooter is.
Right. That's a typical evacuation method to make sure you're not carrying that the gunman's not among them carrying his weapon.
Yeah.
And certainly, however this guy looked like a typical student and still fit the description, clearly wouldn't have had his hands up in the air, it seems.
Lastly, Doug, have you heard much about the motive? Do we know why he may have done this?
There... There's been a couple of things floating around. There was a white supremacist organization based in Tallahassee, which is our capital, who the head of that organization said that this young man was sort of affiliated with him, although he was acting of his own accord. And that fellow suggested that there was a romantic problem somewhere in the past, and that Valentine's Day was something of a trigger. But that's what he's saying. It's not been confirmed. Yeah. You know, police report hasn't said that yet, so we just don't know.
Doug Phillips is the assistant city editor at the Florida Sun Sentinel. Well, our best to all of you down there. I can't imagine how people are trying to get through it, and I know it's a challenging day for your staff. Do what you guys do, and Doug will visit again. Thanks for your time this afternoon.
My pleasure.